I planned this series of messages a couple of months ago, and then I share that with Ray and with Ruth so we get it all in the bulletins and everything. I think Vanessa and Ray found these videos. Aren't they perfect? They are just to the point. And what I like is we haven't really communicated about these. And in my message, I'm talking about those redneck shepherds, and he sounded just like one. That was really good. That was cool. I've talked about Joseph. Joseph was the one that after the age of 12, we hear nothing more from the Bible about his life. He must have died sometime before Jesus Christ and his ministry and his death. We just don't hear from him. We talked about the innkeeper. I call him the unnamed and unknown soldier in this process. He had a very brief introduction to who this baby was, and that's it. There's just a very few words that even remind us that there may have been an innkeeper, because it says there was no room in the inn. Because there was no room in the inn. Now, you know that there's really only two accounts of the Christmas story, Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, and we're in Luke's gospel here again today. One of these gospels focuses on the kingdom of heaven. One of them focuses on the kingdom of God. One focuses on the royalty, and that's where we see the wise men come in Matthew's gospel. Luke's gospel focuses on the earthliness of Christ coming into our lives. Advent meaning he's come in. He's come to us. He chose to be one among us so that we could understand him and know him personally. And he's always been that way. So today we're going to talk about these shepherds. Now, the shepherds get a lot more attention at Christmas, and they always have. When we've done the little Christmas programs and we use our children in them, there's always two or three shepherds with the staffs, and they're always cute and humble, and we love it. And they get a lot more attention, but they're still part of the ordinary people that God used to usher in the message of Christmas that points us to the gospel and the message of Easter. So if you have your Bible, I want to read some of what he read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I want to begin at verse number 8. And it says, "There were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone all around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you.'" I liked in the video, because I hadn't seen it, he said, "Me. He came for me. He is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign that you will find the baby wrapped in," and the King James says, "swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company, a host of heavenly angels appeared, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men who have his favor rest.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us all about.' And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph. And they found the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds then returned back to the fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and all the things they had seen, all the things which they had been told all about." Now, there's a historian named Paul Mayer, And he says, if you're talking about the symbolism of Christmas, and then you're talking about the shepherds themselves, he said the shepherds stand for the cross-sectional average Judean. He said, quite literally, they are the man on the night shift. Now, most of us don't work the night shift, but some of our folks do. And you know what that's like? Everybody else is asleep. Society is kind of shut down. We don't know, we don't recognize that there are people out there working 24 hours a day. I put it this way. God chose to come to those fields, which I call an inglorious place. He chose to come to the lowliest of people in their society, the shepherds. He came amidst the night shift when the rest of the world was asleep, and he pronounced from heaven the most glorious news that has ever been told. Praise God for that, that he came for us. Now, I want to put on the screen Isaiah 40, verse 11, because this has to do with the role of the shepherd and how Jesus Christ himself is, and I'll show that verse in a moment, the good shepherd. In Isaiah 40, 11, this is predicting, this is the prophecy, some of it of the coming one. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. There's four things that a shepherd does, and I've got them marked there. He tends to all their needs. Whatever that need might be, he is there for the sheep. The sheep are valuable. The sheep are, to him, personal, and he tends to their needs. He gathers them in at night for their safety. And he's the one who lays his life down in the gate to protect those sheep from any harm that might come in and try to attack them. He's willing to carry the load of the youngest one if they are limping or if they are weak or if they are just small. And he always, as the Psalm 23 says, leads them beside still water. Sheep will not drink from a flowing, rushing river. They will only drink from a still water, a pond or a small creek that's flowing very carefully. And so he always leads them where he knows they'll find drink. And he helps them with food. But, you know, it's a dirty job tending sheep. I've never had a lamb or a goat or anything in the yard. I remember as a child going to my Uncle MC's house and out there in the country, and he had the pigs. That's pretty nasty. And I remember Daddy throwing me in there just to put my feet in it. I went, ugh, as a kid, I still remember that. But it's being a farmer is a dirty job. It's a hands-on job. It's a blue-collar job. You don't go out there in your suit. And the problem with it is it multiplied because the sheep don't tend to listen to what you're saying. Now, on Sunday morning, between 7 and 8, we get up, we turn on, and we're listening to Channel 7, and we're listening to the weather reports and all that stuff. But at 8 o'clock, while we're finishing up, there's this show about rescuing dogs and the guy training. Today, he was training a dog and how you got to train them. You got to overcome their desire to do their thing that they do. And I thought that was interesting. I wish I'd watched it a little bit closer so I could do a better illustration. But that's what the sheep are like. We're told that sheep will put their head down on the ground and start grazing, and they'll go to the next spot, and then they'll go to the next spot, and they'll go to the next spot, and they'll just keep doing that. And there can be a cliff there, and they'll just go right over the cliff because they don't know that there's danger. But the shepherd's there with the staff to protect them and to keep them from that. A 20th century shepherd named Philip Keller said, unfortunately, that our human behavior patterns and our life habits are so much like sheep that it's almost embarrassing. And he's describing sheep, but he's saying that our human characteristics, slow, weak, foolish, fearful, nervous, and dependent. And that's what the sheep are. That's why the shepherd must tend and gather and carry and lead all the way. So what's the connection? What's the connection here? The angels have come to the shepherds all through Scripture, there is predictions that the Messiah would be like a shepherd, The baby has been born. The angels appear. What's the connection? Well, Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 11, said this. He said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd would lay down his life for his friends, for his sheep." And so that's the connection here, as we see this simple shepherds group being proclaimed to the glory of God. Now, here's where I have written in my notes, they're the rednecks of Judea. They're the country boys. They're the farmers, the hunters. They're the ones who are out in the, that know how to fish. They can live off the land. They're the least respected of the city folk. And the angels come to them and say, "Now, but you got to go to the city to see this great thing that's been done." They're the hardest of workers. They know what loss is all about. They get very, very, very dirty, and they get no praise for their job. Now, I was doing some studying this week, and I don't think I've ever heard this before, but there is a theory that these shepherds that were close to the city of David may have been the shepherds. If not them, there are others who were especially tasked with the job of taking care of the sheep that would be used at the Passover. That those lambs had to be without blemish. They had to be perfect. They couldn't be spotted. They had to be cared for. They had to be fed well. And that these dirty country guys would take care of these sheep until the Passover came, but they themselves weren't allowed to come into the city to observe Passover because they were considered unclean. That's another reason it's so remarkable that God chose to tell these shepherds about this wonderful baby that was born. I got 2 points today, and they're as simple as they come. Point number one, everyone is invited to be a follower of the great shepherd. Everyone in this room, everyone in this world, everyone who's ever been born or will be is invited to know him, to understand what he's done for us, and to be a part of what he's doing for all eternity. I remember the little song, "Red and Yellow, Black and White, They Are Precious in His Sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." And the implication is that he loves all people of the world, whether they're from America or Africa or South America or Asia or Europe or wherever they are, whatever their skin color, whatever their background, whatever their social class, whatever their mentality, whatever their education. Jesus loves them all, loves us all, and it's why he came to those shepherds. Because see, if he had come if Jesus had been born in a palace, the shepherds could not have come and visited him. The wise men could, but the shepherds couldn't come. So he was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a feeding trough. And the shepherds could come. But now, all that debate, did the wise men come in 3 weeks, or did they come in 3 years, or whatever? It didn't matter. It didn't matter where he was born. They could go anywhere they wanted to. But not everyone can live in a palace. Not everyone can be prestigious and privileged. Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 and 29, Jesus said this. He said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, and you will find rest for your soul." And if he hadn't allowed these shepherds to come, we might have gotten the idea, if he'd been born in a palace, that he was special and privileged and only some could come and know him. I want to remind us today here, as we enter into this week that will be very busy for everybody here as we get ready, and we'll have families coming and going. I hope that you'll be in services. If you're not, if you're in town this next week, that you'll be here. If not, you'll be somewhere else. But it's going to be a very, very busy time. But I want to remind us, Jesus loves us. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it's his Holy Spirit that has revealed it and made it absolutely so in our lives. Everyone's invited. I hope you are coming. Second point, everyone who comes will be changed. And I kind of rewrote that after I'd done the PowerPoint. I said, everyone who comes will be received. And that's what it means. Even in the film, the shepherd said, I was changed. I was different. He made so much difference in my life, and he was happy about that. These guys were changed men. They were excited about what they had learned and experienced. They began telling people what they had known, and they went back. They didn't give up their jobs. They didn't stop taking care of their families. They didn't worry about other things. They went back and did their thing, but they were praising God from the highest. Now, here we go. Here's what I learned from the shepherds as I studied, and it's going to be boom, 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 boom. Number one, when they heard the message, they responded quickly. There was no hesitation. They came. They didn't have to have a committee. They didn't have to sit down and call up their labor union. They said, why are we sitting here? We need to go to Bethlehem, and we need to see this thing that the Lord has done. And his invitation to us is to for us not to sit around and wait, but to respond quickly. They didn't worry about their outward appearances. They were dirty, nasty, smelly shepherds living in the field. They didn't go down and take a shower, put on pressed new clothes, clean their fingernails, polish their shoes, and then go in as an entourage. They just went because they were excited about this news. They didn't bring a gift. Isn't that amazing? All the gift giving and buying and selling and trading, they didn't have a gift to give. They came to receive what the Lord had to offer. Now, they didn't know what that was. They didn't understand it yet. And sometimes you sit there and there are those who don't understand this thing about Jesus Christ completely. But once they came, they knew. They understood. And it made all the difference. They came out of wonder. You know, the Bible talks about those angels showing up, and it was a wonder kind of experience. And they came because, well, we want to know the rest of the story. And so they kept their mind. They weren't afraid. And so here I said, they ran to Bethlehem, the city that they were familiar with, but then they fell on their knees before the one they had never met before. And then tied with that one is this. They didn't have to come far, but they traveled a long ways. From darkness into light. From death unto life. From hell to heaven. From unbelief to everlasting knowledge. That's a long journey when you think about it. And some people spend their whole life detouring from that journey. Now, I'm not yet. I'm almost ready. Not now. Maybe next time. They didn't have any of that. They went. They found. They were renewed. And they were changed. And everything after that was glorious in their life. Here's the passage. Luke 2:20. It says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they had been, just as they had been told. Now, you know, in the Christmas story, these two books, Matthew and Luke, in the story itself, there are four times that we hear fear not. There are four fear nots in the Christmas story. The first one has to do with human impossibility. Now, how would you have felt if you had been Mary and an angel came to you and said, young virgin, you are with child, and that child is of God? She said, probably, that's humanly impossible. I have not been with a man. I have not done what you do biologically to create a child. But that fear not from the angel said, it was the power of the highest shall overcome all of that. So that was the first fear not, the human impossibility. The second fear not was the unanswered prayer. Mary's cousin Elizabeth had been praying for a child for many, many years. And in her old age, the angel came to her and to Zacharias and said, "You will have a child." They said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." The fear not of human impossibility, the fear not of unanswered prayer. The third one is the fear not of immediate obedience. And we talked about that. That's Joseph. While he's trying to figure out what is he going to do now that she's pregnant, and he had nothing to do with it, he doesn't understand what's going on. We talked about his options. The angel comes to him and says, "Thou, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." And so he did what the angel said. He was immediately obedient. But today's message, the fear not to the shepherds, is what I call the fear not of salvation. The salvation message. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Salvation has come. And He is Christ, the Lord. We don't ever, ever, ever need to stop proclaiming the message of salvation that Christmas is truly all about. It's about, for us, trees and decorations and gifts and parties and songs and singing. But it is, first and foremost, the message of salvation. Let's never forget that. Maybe on Christmas morn, with the little children, maybe on Christmas Eve with your family, or some other time when you're gathering. And when you bow to pray, I like what Ray said, we're among friends when we come into the presence of God. And He welcomes us, and He invites us, and He changes us if we'll come into His presence. Willow Clark, don't know this poet. "If you had been a lowly shepherd who heard the angels sing, would you have left your sheep alone to go and find the baby king? If you had been an innkeeper, pressed and hurried since the dawn, would you have done the best you could, or would you have told those two, move along? If you had been a wise man, due respect and courtly graces, would you have left it all behind in search in unknown places? We cannot know what we would have done if we had lived back then. We only know what we do now when changes come again." This may be your chance today to see the Christ child laid in a manger, who died on a cross for your sins to be forgiven. What a great Christmas it would be if we knew without any doubt that everyone in this room, all of our families, and everyone we come in contact with knew the Lord Jesus Christ and had had their sins forgiven and knew that one day we'll live with Him in heaven forevermore. Christmas story begins with a baby. It goes through the cross, but there's one more event that's still yet to come, and that is the great recoming, the second advent, when the trump sounds and the skies open. And I don't know how God does it, but everyone on earth will see and hear the same thing at the same moment. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are left behind will be caught up with them into the air. And that wonderful, glorious time in heaven will begin. Wouldn't it be great if we said at that moment, "Merry Christmas and a happy new eternity"? Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence. As the shepherds did before the manger, where the baby Jesus laid, in human form, may we bow with the same respect, love, and honor. And having come to you, may we go back changed as never before. And may this be the merriest of Christmases. And if it's your will, come again now. But if not, help us to be sure to proclaim the Christmas message in Jesus' precious name. Joy to the world. May we stand and sing from our hearts, from the depth of our hearts, this joyous song. God's spoken to you, you need to respond to it. I'll be here. Fear not, for behold, he has brought us good news, great tidings that will lead us out these doors, just like the shepherds, proclaiming that good news to everyone we see. Let's pray. Father, as we're dismissed, in the name of Jesus, we go out these doors, fearing nothing, fearing no one, proclaiming as the shepherds did, the good news, the great tidings of great joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.